At Quite the Thing Media, we aim to bring you the best podcasts produced by independent creators, made without constraints.
Podcast Father here. Join me on my journey as I start out as the indie podcaster.
You've been searching for a podcast. Want to know about some great artist? Yeah. You've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster. With your host, the podcast father.
Here we are, another episode of Indie Podcaster. I'm your host, Jeff, aka Podcast Father. I did create this hell of a podcast that no one's probably listening to. Maybe I'm being too harsh.
They're listening. They listen for me.
Mike, speaking of which, go ahead and plug yourself, buddy.
This is going to be my last one with you. So fun doing it. And I'll have to come back and do more if you'll have me. And I'm hoping that you get other people to do these intros. They're really cool. But my podcast is The Link Podcast, at The Link _ podcast on Instagram and Twitter. I'm interested in a lot of things, movies, TV, music, sports, books, video games, comedy, nerd culture, all that kind of jazz. I try to mix it up, but I'm just a genuinely curious person, and I like to communicate and tell jokes and be silly and also get some real information from artists who I really love. Speaking of which, Courtney, this week's is going to be a really cool one for you.
Yeah. You talked about it. You're touching on it. Nice segue. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. You're the segue man.
They call me Segue Zego. They've been saying it for years.
Sego, you right out the door. Okay. you touched upon it. Courtney Larson. They call me Spindles LLC. She actually owns this and manages and runs this company where they do high-end wedding decor. Now, this is another episode that I think everybody's going to enjoy. It's not a podcaster, but it doesn't matter because this is another example of an amazing creative person. In this interview, we talk about how she starts out, Mike, hitting the ground, painting chalkboards outside of restaurants. She gets out of art. She gets out of art school and she just gets into the grind and works her way up and keeps fighting until she finds something that works. And the something that's really worked for her is doing this wedding decor. She actually doing it for high-end weddings now. It's an incredible story, a great interview.
You touched on it. She just got out there and started doing the thing she was good at. Just start to make the art. And the rest will start to take care of itself if you're talented, which she is. It's so smart to turn a talent for art and design into this kind of business. Now she's in the high-end wedding business. Weddings are unbelievably profitable. They're beautiful, great, yada, yada. But building a business inside of the wedding world is brilliant because, for one, there's no shortage of demand. People are always getting married, always. Plus, word of mouth in that world has to be huge, similar to the way us podcasters are, always trying to get word of mouth between people from you to you, recommend this, recommend blah, blah, blah. And, you know, if someone is planning a wedding, they always want recommendations for people that went well for them. And so Courtney gets her foot in the door into this business just to share her art, which is fantastic. And when it goes well, it just snowballs and it becomes a successful thing. So she is passionate for it, it seems, and took this trendy, in a good way, thing. And also, Spindles is a cool nickname. So let's get into it. Spindy.
I wish that I had. Yeah, why didn't I think of that? They call me Spindles. It's awesome. But let me ask you one. You've never been married, have you, Mike?
I have not. How'd you know? I'm triggered now.
Just you and Lefty, that left hand. That's all you've got, buddy. Every creator, content creator, should listen to this and totally. Take in this advice. You'll love it. So before we get going on it, let me take care of a little business. Myself and this podcast are proud members of Quite the Thing Media. Make sure you're checking out Quite the Thing Media. Go to quitethethingmedia.com. If you want to go to my personal site, it's actually at Quite the Thing Media, quitethethingmedia.com/podcastfather. There you can request to be on this podcast as a guest. Also, a review from me on site. Make sure you're checking out all the great original podcasts on site and the independent creators on site, quitethethingmedia.com. Couldn't do this podcast without the hosting platform, Captivate FM. Captivate FM is great, guys. I can't tell you how great it is. I could talk about it all day, but I will tell you one thing. For me, as a new podcaster, it's amazing. There's all sorts of tools, growth labs, etc. The team is so hands-on at Captivate FM, they will help you through your journey. If you're a podcaster or content creator, you want to distribute your stuff, go to CaptivateFM.com. They'll go ahead and give you 7 free days off the bat, but I'll tell you what, if you go to my Quite the Thing media page, quitethethingmedia.com/podcastfather, there at the bottom, you'll find an affiliate link. You can get 30 days of Captivate FM free. Why wouldn't you check it out? Captivate FM. This podcast is sponsored by Good Pods, my great friends at Good Pods. This is an amazing app, guys. You get on there, you see what podcast your friends and influencers are listening to. Download the Good Pods app. All the music on this podcast is from the artist Young Karts. Young Karts, great independent artist. You got to check out all the work. Go to the site, youngkartsbeats.com. If you want to contact me, you can find me on Twitter @podcast_father, or the podcast actually has an account too, @indie_podcaster, or good old fashioned email, always great too, thepodcastfather@gmail.com. You want to support this podcast? One great way you can do for me is you can go on your favorite podcast listening platform, may that be an Apple or Good Pods, and give me a rating. Throw me a 5-star. Type some nice things to me. If you don't even want to type, don't worry about it. Just throw me some stars. Any feedback is appreciated. I really do appreciate it. If you want to get real crazy and support me, you can always buy me a coffee. Check it out on my Quite the Thing media page. That's enough for the business. Let's get to the view. Joining me today is a kind of somebody that, or an artist and creator that I didn't anticipate necessarily interviewing once I started this project, this podcast, but I'm really excited about this interview today. It's with Courtney Larson, aka Spindles, which just sounds cool, the lead artist, designer, CEO of They Call Me Spindles LLC. So I'll give you a minute just to talk about what it is you do and what you have going on, Courtney.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat with you. My business started as They Call Me Spindles. Back in college, I've had a lifelong love of art and started a business creating one-of-a-kind custom wedding stationery. And then that expanded into other wedding signs and decor items. And recently, as of the last year, I've also started creating large-scale murals and getting that business going as well. But interweaving both of them, the underlying part is that I just have a love for art and making things. And so each part of my business is centered around that and making things that are unique and happy and positive.
We did talk before we started this interview. This is actually something you went to college for and you've made it a business. You've made your creation, your passion a business. So let you talk about your background building up to when and when you started the business.
Yeah. Like I mentioned, just a lifelong love of art. Just basically the second that I could start holding any sort of pencil, paintbrush, anything, I loved making stuff always. Wasn't really sure what I wanted to go into going into college, other than I knew I wanted to keep taking art classes. And the only way to do that was to major in art. So I was like, yeah, let's go for it. Didn't know how I was going to make something after, because I was going into college in 2008. A lot has happened in the art and creative world since then. Like now you can see a much clearer path and you can see a lot of other creatives doing their own businesses. But at the time that was not, there weren't a lot of examples of that, but got into college, loved making art so much. I pursued fine art. And then about midway through college, I decided to add on a business major as well. And so I got a second degree in business marketing, just basically with the concept of, I do want to work for myself and I want to find a way to make art, not have a boss and not be dependent on another business. Like I want to be able to work somewhere, like work on things that I care about, I'm passionate about, and that maybe don't exist yet. So yeah, graduated, took some different twists and turns, did a lot of different careers for a little bit.
Like what?
So in college, my last year, I thought that I had my dream job. I was working for a small, it was a Craigslist post for, they were looking for a designer to make, to design jewelry and handbags for this startup company that was focused around sustainability and fair trade labor. And just, it had like a mission. And I really, really loved that. And they hired me. I worked there for like a year and a half, made some amazing connections with the other designers there. And that business did not pan out for a lot of reasons. And it was frustrating because I was one of the designers. I wasn't a decision maker. And so
did you get to learn a lot in your short time there, kind of like a to help kickstart where you went after that?
Yes, I refer to it now as my grad school, because the amount that I learned just by seeing what good decisions they made, what mistakes they made, I very much learned do not like the value of bootstrapping and like being resourceful and not putting too much, like not tying up your business funds in inventory, like just basically being keeping your business very lightweight and low overhead and all of that stuff. So yeah, I learned a lot. And I also, the biggest takeaway that has stayed with me is I really liked having a creative team. And I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but right now I'm in the process of gathering a team so that I'm not the only one working on this. I want to grow bigger. But anyway, so the jewelry design job was fantastic. I loved it. It reaffirmed and confirmed that I do in fact want to do something very creative with my life. And I want to create stuff. I want to make for a living, and I want to do something that I actually care about. That went away. I worked some random retail jobs for a while, worked in luxury cosmetics, became a makeup artist for a while. Again, not something I knew going in. I didn't want to do that, but I learned a lot of skills, learned something totally brand new that was kind of foreign and a little bit scary to me. It's intimidating to go into some of the luxury department stores if you've not grown up going to them. Anyway, loved certain parts of that job, like interacting with clients, having like a luxury high-end experience. And again, that's something that has helped my current business, because I do have the wedding stationery we offer is on the higher end. It's a different client. And so now I know based on that job how to interact with them. And
yeah, it makes sense, right? You got that experience. You worked hands-on with them face-to-face with your ideal market right now that you're going after. Makes a huge difference.
Yes. And anyway, I knew that I knew that job was going to be temporary. And I had a friend from the jewelry design job. We were both designers. She started a wedding, like a boutique wedding expo. You know, like, have you heard of like the Arizona Bridal Show? Like every state has their own bridal.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you've ever been to one,
I've heard of not the Arizona one directly, but I've heard of them. I've never been to them though. I can imagine it though.
They are wild, and it's massive, and it becomes very much about like who can give the biggest deal and who can have like the best freebies, and the booth fee is always really expensive. Like for a lot of small businesses, that would be like your entire budget for
because of the exposure, right? So it's all about the exposure in this event.
Yes. The downside of that is it feels very not personal, and you're not getting people that really like, you're not getting potential clients that necessarily care about picking the best, like best fit for them. They end up just kind of like budget shopping. And anyway, so my friend, Amelia Walsh, shout out. She created the Mary Mart, which is, again, it's like a boutique version of a bridal show. And that little, like, she knew that I created my sister and my brother's wedding invitations. And she was like, you should really think about maybe doing wedding invitations. Like, you already have done it. You've done some wedding signs for your siblings. You should think about being a vendor in the show. And that little like suggestion from my friend, I ended up being a vendor there. That started me on the path of being in weddings and, you know, figuring out like what my creative niche was there. Now I feel like it was always kind of there from the beginning, but now the stationery that I'm creating for people is so, it's really, really focused around the watercolor artwork, the design, and making keepsake pieces versus just run of the mill, you can find this anywhere kind of pieces. So that's what started. I feel like I try very hard to go with the flow of like new possibilities and try new stuff out, because in my experience, that's kind of like one person suggests something to me and pretty soon it sets me off onto like a brand new path that years later, it's like, oh, I actually really like this thing. And yeah. I have my friend to thank for that, which is nice.
You'll forever owe her that. So let me ask you one other. I was on your site reading, and it seems yes. like you did have a good support system as a youth, as a child, that supported yeah. you with this. You actually mentioned a story with your mom. How you remember her? I'll let you go ahead and share. You go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But
no, you're okay.
I'm very, very, very lucky to have parents that are super supportive and parents that are also very creative. My mother and her mother, both very, very just kind of like can do anything and can make anything. My mom made my wedding dress, for instance. So I grew up, even just like a formative memory that I think instilled a really deep love of watercolor in me is as a kid, my mom would read stories with me. And then she's a great artist herself and would sketch out little scenes from what story we had just read. And then she would let me watercolor her little illustrations. And so just that act, I fell in love with watercolor very early on because of that, and fell in love with this idea of storytelling through artwork. It's been cool to have that kind of come full circle now, working with couples that want to tell their love story through their invitations. And so it's just, I love, yeah, just having that come full circle has been really amazing. And having parents, you know, I know that not everybody has parents that care or support a creative business, but And my dad, also very creative. He could have been like an advertising creative guy, but he owns his own business as well. And so having that support system to call when I'm not sure like what to do or need business advice. This is a new situation. What do I do? Like, what's your advice? That's been really awesome. So I have like just good family and good support there.
Which is critical, you know, to the creative mind when you are young, and then also critical to have that support system when you do have a business. I can't imagine doing everything on your own, right?
Totally. Yes. And my poor husband feels like he gets looped into a lot of conversations and he has to give a lot of advice nowadays as I'm like navigating being a business owner, navigating bringing on new team members, and then obviously a lot of like twists and turns over the last year, and weddings specifically.
Oh yeah.
Changing and evolving, and yeah, just a lot of change in the wedding industry from 2020.
But you're talking about bringing people on, which is great.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So you got into the other retail that you had talked about. At that point in time, was it in your mind at all that I could, or was it more of like, I would like to, or I could make a living being an artist? Because this is really, I mean, it is art, and what you do is great. Yeah, I know you thought about doing it, you said, but did you think, hey, I could do this the rest of my life and make a living off of it? Or is it more of just a dreaming sort of thing?
That's a good question. So when I was working retail, I specifically got a part-time position. I was seeing some of my friends from art school start pursuing art as a business, and, you know, some that went kind of the art show route, like the like art fairs and stuff, and having their booths set up and products going that direction. So I was seeing other people starting to do it, but at that time I didn't know what path would actually be a business. I just knew that I wanted to keep making stuff and that I wanted to have just a part-time job so that I could work on the side. So I would have time to make new paintings or make, I tried like stationery and art prints at first, like greeting cards. I think everybody who makes art tries that for a second. And like,
yeah,
then you realize I don't really care enough about greeting cards to like put my whole passion behind it. I tried some booths, like some art. What are those called? Why am I blanking?
Like, kind of like expos, and you set up a booth there. Yeah, I'm visualizing exactly what you're saying. I mean, so you set up like, at some of these, like, I want to say you could art fair,
yes, expo.
Yeah, yeah.
An arts and crafts fair. That's what it's called. And yeah, I tried out a couple times doing a booth and selling, like, at one point I was doing macrame. I just was kind of trying anything and still very much figuring out what my specialty was. And it was also a weird time because I felt like in college, I had a really clear direction of my style. And I was kind of on this one path of bright and colorful, but like a little bit weird subject matter. And, you know, just, I felt like very much in college, I had like a vision. And then I got out of college and like life took some turns and I kind of lost track and kind of lost sight of that original creative vision and the artistic voice and all of that. And started, I think there was a disconnect when I thought that going in like the idea of like, oh, this is a business, so I need to do things that are like more, a little more basic maybe. Because I think when I very first started trying to sell stuff, I think I was making things that were very much in the realm of other things I saw. Like anyone I saw making money and like actually having a business making art prints, Everything was kind of like cutesy and kind of simple. There was a lot of like watercolor quotes with feathers and like, you know, anyway, like mid 2010s. But anyway, I kind of lost sight of my artistic voice in favor of trying to make stuff that I thought people would want to buy.
I do want to take another second here to talk about the sponsor of this podcast, Good Pods. Like I mentioned earlier in the intro, you can see what podcasts your friends and influencers are listening to. This app is great, and the creators and team Good Pods are very serious about making you the greatest listening experience for a podcast, not only just the quality of the audio listening piece, but also the social aspect. This is a really awesome app. I can't suggest it enough. I'm very involved in there. They're very dedicated to podcasters, independent podcasters, and listeners. I have a couple groups on there you should go check out. The Indie Podcasters group, highlight indie podcasters, obviously. I've also recently created a true crime group. I'm a big true crime fan. You should join both of those groups. And every week, we do pick podcasts out of the Indie Podcasters group to highlight in the recommended section. But once again, I'll say it again, the Good Pods team is a great team of people. I can personally vouch for them, but they're also dedicated to making this app as good as possible. You can talk to them on social media directly. They will respond. They take all recommendations very serious. There's a great team at Good Pods. Make sure you download the Good Pods app and listen to your podcast there. Let's get back to the interview. So you were like so deep in on the business end of it off the bat. that you yes. lost your creative path almost.
Yes. And I was so like, yeah, so hyper-focused on like, I'm just going to do jobs that make money. Actually, for a while, one of the like things that helped me get traction was doing chalkboard signs for weddings and for businesses. So like, if you see the A-frame signs outside yeah. of restaurants or little businesses, I would go around to different places and like for like $50, I would spend like 3 hours making a little chalkboard design. Yeah, I definitely like way undercharged in the beginning, but I was just taking like any job where someone was offering me money to make something. I'm like, oh, I can do that. I can do that. And then
right.
just figured out how to do it. Yeah. But I think definitely in that mindset of like, I don't have it. At the time I was single. I didn't have, I'm like, I have to make the money. Like
yeah.
I have to at least make enough money to make rent and, you know, pay my groceries and all of that stuff. So it was very much like, I will do any creative job, like anything that's in the realm of art, anything related, I will do that. And I'm glad I did it that way because it helped me acquire a lot of skills that have helped me now, but it was exhausting. Like,
oh, I can imagine. And you said that your passion for the wedding piece came not because you've been married 10 times or something crazy, but because no. because you're dealing with your and helping your siblings with theirs. So
yeah,
so that is like the point in time when you were able to come up with this idea of connecting the pieces to the wedding. What yes. step after that did you do? And then how long did it take before you were like, holy hell, I'm really onto something here as far as a business goes?
Yeah, that's a good question. So definitely that first wedding expo, the first round of the Mary Mart, that is the first time I got outside clients, like specifically for weddings. And now, again, even just like a few years later, there's so much information and so much free education out there on how to start a stationery business and how to be a wedding vendor. There's a lot of really great resources. I couldn't find that at the time. And so I was making up pricing and trying to scramble and find good vendors and printers and all of that. From that first event, I think I booked 3 or 4 weddings. Man, those couples were so great. They I know they got a good deal too, but they trusted me to make them things. And I definitely put in the time and put in the hours to do it. And again, I still think I was going into that with a kind of an idea of what weddings are supposed to be and what the artwork for wedding, like, this is sad to admit. At the beginning, I was like a little bit embarrassed that I was in weddings because I was coming from like cool art school. And I'm like comparing myself against like my cool art school friends who yeah. are doing like exhibiting pieces in galleries. And I wasn't doing that. And, you know, I know some people have like a view of the wedding industry that's like, it's just cheesy and dated or like the trends are already like over and people are still doing them. I know that. So at the beginning, I was kind of like a little bit embarrassed, which I feel bad to say, but I was kind of a naysayer of, I wasn't like a wedding kind of person that got really excited about weddings. But I think that also reflected in what I was making because I thought that I had to like stay within like a formula.
Like, yeah.
Again, I was kind of looking at what other makers were making and everything was still kind of like on the simpler side, which is not 100% my style. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So definitely that first year, it was a lot of like just figuring out how it worked, how weddings work, how to work for myself, how to keep on deadlines, which I did not always do very well. Like about 2 years ago is when things still like really started to shift in my mind of like, this is not just a piece of paper that I'm making for people. It was about 2 years ago that I really started to have this mental shift of, I had gotten the feedback from someone, oh, I think maybe from my own wedding, with my own wedding, I think it was 3 years ago, I wanted to make our invitations like a little bit kooky, because something I love to paint outside, like just in my own artwork that's not for clients, I love to paint bugs, specifically like Arizona bugs, because I think they're so weird. Yeah. And also it's crazy that anything can survive here.
Yeah.
And the things, like even the flowers that are here, like saguaro blossoms, are so like weird and like sturdy. Like they're not like normal flowers that just wilt. I'm like, somehow they managed to survive. But anyway, so for my own wedding invitations, I painted a big Palo Verde beetle, which if you don't know what that is, you should look it up, because it's real, real weird looking. And they make these weird oval holes in the ground. It's very strange. But I painted that for the back of one of my invitation pieces. And the feedback I kept getting from my wedding is that my friends were framing it. Like they framed part of the invitation and hung that up in their own house. They're like, this is so cool. I've never seen this. That's kind of when things started to turn. Cause I'm like, if people framed my invitations, like that's a cool thread to follow. Like,
yeah.
Why aren't people making their invitations like keepsakes where everything looks the same? It's just flowers or whatever. Like, it should be personal to the couple. And so that was kind of like the catalyst for starting off on this new path of like, hey, what if we did like a painting of like your love story, like the place where you got engaged? Let's do a landscape painting of where you got engaged, where you first met, where you're getting married, where you're honeymooning. Like, let's do something like that. And let's do a painting of your favorite place in the world as a couple, or like, let's do a painting of your dog that you got and love so much. Like, so that change has been really, really exciting for me. And that was kind of also the turning point of like, oh, I can now do this for a very long time. I think before I wasn't as like, when I started, I wasn't that creatively inspired. It just felt like kind of, I was creating like a day job for myself that would allow me to do my own artwork separately and like on my own time. But I really, really liked this shift of like feeling like the pieces I'm making for people are actually things that they want to keep. And I do keep getting the feedback that friends of the couples are framing the parts of their invites and like keeping their invites, or like keeping them on the fridge for months after the wedding, just because they like looking at it. So that kind of stuff has been exciting. And I think because I've been passionate about that, like it gets them excited too. Like it's way easier to get them on board. And it's like, yeah, you should spend more, because this is not just like a piece of paper people are going to throw away. Like not only like you get it in the mail and people are like, holy shit, I've never gotten an invite like this before. Like, that's what I want. Like, I want them to be excited about your wedding before, like months ahead of time. That's what your invite should do. Not just like white envelope, plain cards, just text. Like, yeah, I've been having a lot of fun and been really inspired by more of the storytelling of a wedding. Oh my gosh. After COVID, like one of my couples, they got married in May, and it was like touch and go for a minute of like around Christmas time. It looked like people were not going to come, you know, like it was very, nobody knew what was happening. But anyway, like they told me something that I really ran with was like, we want our wedding to be a party and a celebration, because, and they're like, we want it to feel like a vacation because everybody's been cooped up. And like, if they're going to come travel out of state, we need to like do it up and actually like go full out. And so just that little piece of info, I'm like, that's the best way to look at this. And just that helped me get really inspired to like make some really, really fun out of the box things. And that's probably one of my favorite weddings I've ever worked on. I got to combine my two businesses. I got to paint a mural backdrop for their like photo booth area. So like the weddings and the murals have been a little bit separate. And that was the first time I got to combine them and do a mural for a wedding. So I'm really excited about that continuing and being able to do bigger and more unique and just more out of the box kind of work.
I think that you worded it like perfectly when you said my couple, like it, because that just makes it, and that just defines, I think, your success, because it's so personal. You do that, your relationship with them, the work that you were doing was so personal. So that's like the first thing I, when you said that, I picked up on that, like, this means a lot to her, you know, my couple, my work. And that's big, because you feel like you're literally not just the business transaction, you're a part of it.
Yes. And it feels like, yeah, I think that's also been an exciting change, because at the beginning, again, when I first started in weddings, I didn't feel super connected. And I think a lot of that was on me. Just kind of like by nature of being new into the business, I didn't know how to connect with these couples. But I think also as I've like doubled down on like invitations through me are going to be interesting and they're going to be creative and it's going to be artwork. Like as I've doubled down on that, I feel like the people that reach out to me are also just like cool. Like, yeah. It's like, because I'm putting out into the universe and I'm like, I only work with cool people, and like all the people I work with are so cool and interesting. And they are like, truly, like I did invites for a couple that like seem like such an unlikely but a great pair. One is an accountant and one is a musician, and they met at a like music festival. I'm like, you guys are cool. Like,
and you already start thinking about what you can, like,
yeah,
your artistic side, your engines start running. Yes.
So definitely I have found like the more that I just reiterate and put it out, I'm like, I work with cool people, then it seems like cool people keep reaching out to me. And like, I don't know if that's like manifesting, but I do feel like, yeah, I do kind of take ownership over these people. And then I end up like, you know, we kind of stay in touch after the wedding. And that makes me really, that's so different. And I didn't expect that part of making it. But I think it goes back to like, I connected with them through what we made. And I think that's, yeah, I think that's been a really cool part of art that I didn't know I would have when I was in art school. Like, that wasn't a really big important thing to me in art school when I was just fully in the conceptual side of art and just making whatever I wanted just for myself and for school. I didn't really anticipate that I would be inspired by the idea of connection. But now it's like my creativity is really, really tied in with other people and like kind of telling other people's stories and creating their vision. Like, what's the phrase? Like bringing their vision to life. So yeah, they come to me with like these concepts of what they want their wedding to feel like. And then it becomes my job to make that a physical object. And that's been exciting for me. I didn't anticipate that.
It sounds like things really started to take off when you kind of let loose a little bit and focused on the creativity side, like before the business. So you talked about COVID. So how has it changed since then? And how did you get through that time? And how are things looking now?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I feel very lucky because for whatever reason, part of it is because I'm in Arizona and things have been very lax here comparatively. Like,
you're saying mandates and all that haven't been okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there were definitely still weddings that happened last year versus I know other states that just absolutely shut down. Nothing could happen.
Yeah. And anything more than a few people, they were not doing. Yeah.
Yes. So I was thankful and grateful to have weddings that still happen. And then also with stationery, it's a little bit different because I'm not 100% tied to the day. So in the case, I had a lot of people postpone, but like we're still making their invites and that process stayed the same. It just, we weren't sending out until start of this year. So there's definitely been some residual, like some continuing postponements, and like next year is going to be wild with weddings.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's the prediction from every source.
But weddings and babies, right?
Weddings and babies. And I honestly, I think a lot of events next year too,
which
will be fun. So I think just in general, a lot of events, but honestly, it was really nice last year to also have another business side, like another side to my business, because I had some weddings taken off my plate or pushed back. It gave me time to do mural work and Airbnbs specifically in the Scottsdale area are really like, it's becoming a really like hot destination spot for people. And so the demand is there for Airbnbs. And again, I feel like I've been very lucky to work with really cool clients. And one of the first people that reached out to me for an Airbnb mural, she came to me and she's like, I had this kind of crazy idea. I think it's going to work because bachelorette parties are like a really big deal in Scottsdale. It's like a big destination. She basically made a bachelorette themed house and then hired me to paint these two murals. And that house has absolutely blown up on like social media and TikTok. There's like several TikToks now of the house and of my paintings that have in the 2 millions of views and like in the hundreds of thousands. And that doing that first mural house just led to one after the next. And then she did a bunch more houses. And so with COVID, it was kind of a nice opportunity to explore and learn this new area where I really didn't have too much of a background in mural work like before last year. I had assisted another artist friend of mine on a big project of her mural, like a big mural of hers. And then honestly, some of the chalkboard work that I used to do, like where I would do some big chalkboard, you know, menus and lettering design. So I had like a little bit of experience with large scale things, but COVID actually, I always feel a little bit guilty because I recognize how rough of a year it was for so many people. But weirdly, it was like it was the best year that I had had in my business because I kind of had the time to try something brand new and to get the murals off the ground. Where I do think if last year would have went as planned with the weddings I had already lined up, I don't think I would have had time or energy to try that out. Also, I mean, of course, it was like freaky to not know like if weddings would keep getting pushed back and how it would work with payments and even like cost of supplies have changed and gone up a little bit. So I continue to still feel some of the effects of that, but it does feel like it's starting to get back to normal with weddings at least.
One more question for you. I've set off on this journey on this podcast to highlight, like I said, you know, a bunch of different kinds of creators. And what you've done is inspiring for people that are starting their creative journey. What advice would you give to somebody who's just in the early stages of starting their creative journey?
Oof, that's a good question. I would say I personally found a lot of value out of trying a lot of different things. I have seen friends of mine who are super talented, but they sit on their ideas and they don't end up putting it out there. And so no one knows to hire them. No, like, so things never get going for them, where I feel like I kind of had to put my like art school, like, you know, high horse ideas aside. And just, I did a lot of different jobs and like tried a lot of different avenues. And I can point to what I learned from each of those opportunities. And I can point to how it's made me a better artist now. Like I can recognize how it's made me so much better than I would have been if I just kind of kept with one thing. So I think there's a lot of value to trying out different avenues, pivoting when it's not working and pivoting when there is a new opportunity. And just, I guess also just be open to new opportunities. Like, I was open to the idea that when my friend pitched me on the concept of doing wedding invitations, maybe, like, be open to those ideas, because even if it doesn't end up being your thing, you will learn a lot from it. I just see too many creative people not acting on anything. And you got to move forward knowing you can pivot. But yeah, I would say to just, like, make stuff, like, just always be making stuff, try new avenues, and just be open to the opportunities.
That's great advice. And once again, yeah, thank you for taking the time to do this interview today. It was awesome.
Thank you for asking me. I had a great time chatting with you.
Yep. We'll keep in touch, and good luck with everything. And like I said before, you're a great example of just continuing to grind through, and you started out from grassroots, and hard work does pay off. So thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Really do appreciate you listening to this episode and checking it out. I hope you continue to do so with the next. I hope you have an appreciation for what I'm trying to do here. Highlight all the different things all sorts of different creators are doing. I hope you get behind me on that and continue to join me on my journey. I'm Podcast Father, the Indie Podcaster. See you next time.